right, welcome to part two of our series, Be Strong. And the best way to be strong is to start out with prayer and fasting and set the course for the rest of the year. Amen, everybody? And so I'm so excited about those that are joining us in that. There are many people that are joining us here in-house. There's also many people that are joining us in the 21 days online. And I had a personal incident happen this week in my family. I'll share with you in a little while as I get on into the message. But I had some people that responded online and with this response, and it just warmed my heart. It said, "Your church family is praying." Let me back up. It was more than that. It was your online church family is praying for you. And I just touched my heart to know that we've got an online church family. So I just want to give a shout out to you guys and so appreciate all of you and being a part of what we're doing. And it reaches beyond these four walls, which that's what the church should be. It's not just contained within the four walls. In fact, the Bible tells us that it's not about the building. It's about you and I. And so, but we're in a series that really are enjoying about being strong in the Lord. And let me just get right into it. If you have your message notes, those are there in your worship guide. If you're watching online, you can join us there at our website. You can download those notes and follow along with us. Joshua 1:7 says this, "Be strong in the Lord," it says, "Be strong and very courageous," getting that one verse ahead, "Be strong and very courageous, be careful to obey all the law, that you may succeed wherever you go." And so, and then Ephesians just parallels that in the New Testament, where Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Specifically, as we look at being strong in 2008 and beginning strong, and you really want to begin, you know, this is the thought, you want to begin strong. We all know we want to finish strong, but you're not going to have any hope to finish strong unless, first of all, you want to begin strong. So we want to set ourselves up with renewed strength in 2018. Specifically, I want us to look at this verse that's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That really breaks down the areas that we need to be strengthened in. It says, "May God himself," Paul says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through." And then he says this, "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so the fact of the matter is that we are made up of three parts. We are made up indeed of spirit, soul, and body. And so when we break that down, we realize that there is a spirit part of us that's going to live forever. That's the part that Jesus comes and he redeems. And we know that through him and through his blood, we're presented before his Father spotless. And that's intact. And we're going to be standing before him with purity, because of not our purity, but because of the purity of Jesus Christ. But then there's that soul part of us, and that's that part that involves the mind and the emotions and those things that we continue to kind of wrestle with here in this life. And those are the things that we have to continue to work at. And that kind of competes to be in charge. Sometimes we want to be led by our feelings and our emotions rather than what God says, right? And then there's that part of us, of course, that's the body part of us. And we do know that this is a temporary body. But there's some things that the Bible says about this temple that he dwells in and how we're supposed to take care of that. So we talked about part one of the spirit last week. Today we're talking about being strong in soul. And next week, again, we're going to talk about the body, what that means. But today let's break this down as far as the soul part. Let's unpack this. You know, that emotional part of this, really that's the mind part of us, where many have called it, there's the battle of the mind that's going on. You know, our spirit knows one thing. You know, we know down in our knower what we know, but then our mind begins to sort of, and our emotions and our feelings and some of the outward influences begin to affect that. But I believe that we can line that part up with the spirit part of us. In fact, if we feed the spirit part of us, it has the ability to control the other two parts just fine. And when that is in control, when that's in line, listen, your life's going to begin to work and things are going to be put back in order as it should be. And you're going to begin to grow and be a healthy person. And things are going to work as God intended it to. But I want to give you the scripture as we jump into this. It's found in Psalm chapter 42. I'm going to read this to you in the Message not translation, but message suggestion kind of idea. You know, message is kind of that version that's very, very life-giving, but it makes it real. It just makes it plain to understand. And David said this, "Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you down there? Have you ever been down in the dumps?" And he says, "Why are you crying the blues?" Don't you just love that? And so, you know, in other words, what weakens our soul? And so I want to give you some areas that I believe that we need to look at. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list. The list could be extremely long, but I'm going to bring this down to maybe, let's just do the top five, okay, of areas that I believe that causes us to be weakened in our soul man. John chapter 4 and verse 18 gives us some insight into this first point. And the first point of this is this, and that's the word deception. Deception. Write that down. Deception. You could put / confusion, because deception actually does lead to confusion. We know that this is actually the trick of the enemy of your soul to deceive us, because he's done it from the very beginning. And that's really what his makeup is. John chapter 8 and verse 44 says, "When the devil lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So that is what he does. And I believe it's at the core of this issue of weakening of our soul is that we have oftentimes bought into a lie. Adam and Eve bought into a lie from the very beginning, and that has been passed down to us. And when we follow a lie, it leads us into sin. And when we follow into this area of sin, it leads us into this state of confusion. Right? If you don't believe it, look at Adam and Eve. They thought they could hide themselves from God with some fig leaves. I mean, something happened in the brain up here, because they used to walk every day. They knew who God was. It'll affect you. And I think one of the greatest consequences of sin is it leads you to confusion. And this we know, that God is not the author of confusion. And so when you build your life on confusion, it produces emotional instability. And you become a reed in the wind, driven about by every wind of doctrine and whatever is the latest and greatest. And we get into this state of saying, "Oh, well, that sounds good, or that seems right, or that feels right." But we know this, and the Bible teaches us that there's a way that seems right, but the end of that way is destruction. The end of that way is chaos and turmoil and unrest. And so there's no peace. And so there's this area of deception and confusion when we begin to operate by our feelings. There's another area that we've got to watch, and that's the area of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will weaken our soul person, our soul man. And possibly this could be, in fact, the biggest area of all that gives us trouble. Really, unforgiveness is any kind of bitterness or resentment. It's when someone has mistreated you and you just want to say back to them, "Well, I'll show them." And so you hold this thing in your heart, and the fact of the matter is, oftentimes, is they've already moved on, and yet you're the one still being affected by it. Someone said, "Unforgiveness is setting yourself on fire and hoping the person you hate dies of smoke inhalation." That's pretty good, right? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 says this, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no," look this, "bitter root grows up." So there's this bitterness, so if it's left unchecked, it grows. Reaching however, they grow deep and long, and they're hard to pull up once they get some time on them, right? So this bitter root, it will grows up, and it'll cause trouble and defile. It'll defile many. So this thing will grow up. And so the sooner you get rid of it, the better. And it goes on to say it will cause you trouble. So some of us have trouble in our lives, and you don't think it's connected to your heart. But it actually is. And the high suggestion I give you today is this, and that is to let it go. To which you might be saying, "I can't let it go because it's just not fair what they did to me." Well, here's what I would present to you. You do not want to go the fair route, because if we went the fair route, guess what? We'd have to pay for our own sins. I'm so thankful that that we didn't do the fair right. None of it's fair, but thank God for his grace in our life and his forgiveness in our life. Amen? So you just don't want to do the fair thing. The Bible actually tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. You can write that down if you like. It's not in your notes, but Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 teaches us that we are to forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Right? Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. So here's what I encourage you to do, and that is let them off the hook and set yourself free. Amen. Because you're the one that's taking it and expecting you. Another area that weakens our spirit or our soul is this word comparison. Comparison. Many of us are plagued with this thought of what do people think about me? And we're always looking at what other people are doing, and we care so much about what other people think. And I believe that this area, honestly, is a very weakening of our culture. It's a weakening of our culture. There is actually, I believe, an identity crisis that's happening in our day. And unfortunately, we're not getting our identity from the one who created us, but we're getting our identity from Twitter, right? From how many hearts we have on our Periscope, from how many likes we get on Instagram. I know it's a good picture. I don't know why I didn't get more likes on that. It was great. I thought it'd be awesome. I thought it'd blow up. You know, I thought I'd go viral, right? So, our smartphones are really messing us up when it comes to identity. Are they not? Think about it. I mean, it's like the family who goes out to eat and you know, mom, dad's there, and three kids, and everybody's on their phone. Nobody's talking. Nobody's communicating. You know, I don't know what we're doing. We're saying, you know, we're texting, pass the rolls. You know, I don't know what we're doing. There's no communication, no conversation going on. We're so concerned about what's going on, what other people are doing, that we don't see what is really right in front of us. And worse yet, listen, we're letting culture define what love looks like. And we're letting culture define what sexuality looks like. And there's a lot of confusion going on with identity and comparison. To which you might be saying, well, it's no big deal. We get that point. Move on. Is it? Let me give you a scripture that's found in James chapter 3. It says this, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Don't you love how passive the Bible is about this topic, right? Pretty strong, right? Pretty strong. And it goes on to say, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder. There you will find disorder, the weakening of your soul. And every evil practice is connected to that, to the area of unforgiveness. So I would encourage you, we're doing 21 days of prayer and fasting. I mentioned this last week. I would encourage you, you might want to add fasting some social media during this time. I mean, just take the next 6 days and replace that stuff with the Word of God and what God says about you. And I guarantee you'll be thinking better and you'll be feeling better come next Sunday. Amen? Come on. So the world has gotten also so vocal and so opinionated. It is one thing to have an opinion, but it's another thing to go online and say, right? Just blow it up. So we need to listen to what God says about you. Not what other people say about you, but what God says about you. And with all this confusion and identity problems, There's one place to find it, and it's found in God, not in letting culture define us. So we've got this area of confusion, okay, an identity crisis. And then look at this next one, number four, anger, that's a big one. So that's not my problem. Well, yeah. Just, I'll tell you what, get out on I-77 and just look around. You'll see anger everywhere. Anger. And there's two kinds of angry people. There's people that are loud and in your face, and they're kind of like the skunk version of anger. They just spray it everywhere, you know? But then there's the other version, and that's where you kind of hold it all in. That would be the turtle version. You just kind of draw it in, and instead you just spew all that stuff up inside of you. The psychology of today is that we are, the top thing that's going on in our world today is people are upset. People are upset about the economy. They're upset about the government. They're upset about traffic. They're upset about marriage. They're upset about the kids, about school. They're angry and upset about all these things. And we need to understand that it being left unchecked, it will weaken you. It will weaken your soul. James chapter 4, let me give you this. When James chapter 4 says this, and asks the question in verse 1, it says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Which is saying, it's him. It's him. That's the one that's causing the quarrels and the fights. You know, that's, you know, it's interesting how it's always the other person. It's always the wife, the husband, it's the boss. It's never us. It's always them. It's always them. But yet, the Bible comes along and says to us, help me out there. Next, come on. Actually, it says they come from you, right? Ouch. That's what the Bible actually says about it. They come from within you. Interesting, every argument, every fight, every quarrel I've ever had, there's one common denominator in all of them. I was there. It was me, right? Bible says, don't they come from your soul issues, your desires? And here's the problem. Look at this. You want something, but you don't get it. You want something, but you don't get it. That's, that sentence right there pretty much sums this whole area up. You want something, but you don't get it. All anger says, I had the right to this lane, and he cut me off, right? I had the right to a peaceful barbecue in my backyard, but that dog. I had the right for a wonderful marriage, but look at this wife you gave me, right? And it goes on to say, you kill and covet because you can't have what you want. You quarrel and fight, and you desire, but you do not have. So you kill and you say, well, I don't go that far. Okay, well, do we? Don't we oftentimes kill with our words? And whenever we kill with our words, listen, we may change the circumstances, but you never change yourself, do you? Think about it. We may get what we want, but we're still mad, right? Still upset. Why? Because you didn't get Bob and God involved, because it goes on to say, look at what it goes on to say, you do not have because you do not ask God. You didn't get Bob, God involved in that. And so, did you know that your weak soul is not from the guy who cut you off? It's not from your spouse. It's not because of Washington, D.C. It's not them. I mean, really, it's not them. Go figure. It's something we didn't deal with God. We want to change situations, but God wanted to change us. I just want that change, but God wants to change us. So anger is a big area. Come on, I'm just trying to help you. We're going to talk about how we're going to strengthen these areas. There's hope on the other side of this page, okay? We're getting there. Let me give you this fifth area, and it's the area of worry. And for some, I want to say that it's elevated to its nearest cousin, and that's fear. Worry is assuming responsibility that God never intended for you to have. Worry tries to change the past, control the future, and weakens your now. And all of us worry. All of us do worry from time to time. The question is not if you're a worrier, but the question is, what do you do when you worry? And if you don't do the right thing when you worry, worry will go through your body, through your spirit, through your soul, and it will weaken and ultimately graduate to this thing called fear. We worry about the economy, worrying about politics, worrying about our kids, worrying about our job. If you don't handle those things with a God response, it'll mesh up your soul. So when you can't even, so much so that you can't even sleep at night. And so we're worrying about things that aren't even here. Mark Twain says, you just have to worry twice now. You worry about it coming, and then when it gets there, if it really does come to pass, you worry about it all over again. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27 says, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And there's a hint here in this. It says, can anyone add a single hour to your life? And the problem may be that you think everything is locked up in this life. All of us worry, but worry doesn't weaken the person only who is only trying to defend this life. And not trying, listen, we don't need to be trying to add one more hour to this life. Listen, one glad morning, the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to fly away. And if our hope, Bible says, if our hope is only in this world, we're of all men most miserable. So if all your stock is in this place, you're in trouble. It's going to mess you up. Amen? It's going to mess you up. Paul put it this way, I'm a stranger, I'm an alien in this world, I'm not even a citizen of this land, I'm just passing through, my citizenship is in another world. Amen? And so when that's your perspective, then nothing can mess you up. But if we're not careful, we lose perspective. So let's get some perspective today. Let's talk about how we can get strong. I want to give you these two words, and that's the words, be careful, be careful. They're found in, let me just repeat our kind of theme verse for this series again. It's found in Joshua 1 and 7, where he says, be strong and very courageous. And he says these words, be careful. And he says this, be careful to obey all the law. It goes on to say, don't turn from to the right or to the left. Come on, just whatever you do, follow God's word. Don't follow your feeling. Don't follow your emotions. Don't follow your anger. Don't follow the confusion. Come on, don't follow all of the stuff that the enemy's throwing at you in your soul and your mind as you're battling with. No, follow the word of God. And look what will happen, that you may be successful wherever you go. So I want to give you some ways to strengthen your soul that correspond to each of these five areas, okay? Number one, establish truth. Establish truth. The solution to deception or a lie is truth. The Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth, come on, will set you free. Will set you free. In other words, it's going to make you strong. You're going to be strengthened in your spirit. You're going to be strengthened in your mind when you know the truth. Let's just break this out a little bit further. Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul's talking about we're in a spiritual warfare, and this is a warfare within our mind, within our spirit, within our soul, man. Listen, he says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devil's schemes. And he goes on to say, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see, the word of God is not just a defensive tool, it's an offensive tool. In fact, everything that's listed there is pretty much defensive except this one, which is offensive. I would dare mention also, I would think prayer is also an offensive one, because there's times that prayer is not just defensive, it's offensive. There's a war to be waged against the enemy. There's some things for us in the spirit, come on, to pull down some strongholds. Amen, everybody? But the word of God and what the Spirit of God uses is the word of God, the word of truth within us. And so take the word of God. Establish truth in your life. Now listen to this. Every one of us have been given a measure of faith. The question is not whether we have faith, but where we align it to, what we assign it to, right? Faith oftentimes has been put in the wrong thing. Sometimes we have more faith in the problem than we do in the problem solver. Can I get a good amen? Amen. But the Bible tells us this, faith comes from hearing, and hearing how? From the word of God. So our faith needs to be based not on our feelings, not on our emotions, not on our anger, come on, not on our confusion, but based on what, let's just go King James right here, thus saith the Lord. Amen. What the Lord says. So faith comes by hearing. So when we establish our life on the truth of God's word, everything changes. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Not by sight, but by faith. Not by feelings, but by faith. In God's word. not by emotions, not by intellect, but by faith in the truth of God's word. That has to be the authority and the filter in our life. So we must establish truth. Not what society says, not what culture says, come on, not what your past says, come on, not what your emotions say, not what the weather says, not what they say on Twitter, not what they say on Facebook, come on, what the word of God says, that's how we're going to base our life. That has to be. Come on, you're going to base your life on something. Why not base it on something solid? Because those other things are going to change from day to day like a roller coaster. They're going to be here today and gone tomorrow. But what always stands, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will not pass away. I feel like preaching this morning. Amen, everybody? Come on, you got to build your life on that that is true. So we're not going to turn to the left or right. We're not going to be distracted by this or that or the other. We're going to stay on track of what God's called us to do. We're going to follow his truth. Amen? And that's going to lead you to life. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? You want life? You want to be strong in 2018? You need to follow the truth of God's word. Amen. Right there, it just needs to be the pound right there. Pound right there. Just take the word of God and just pound it in. Okay? But really, establish. If you're going to build your life, you need to be established on a good foundation. All of the ground is sinking sand, right? On Christ, the solid rock, the living word of God. On him we stand. Number two, be careful not only to establish truth, but be careful to have, look at this, this one might surprise you, right relationships. God's solution is not for just you and him to talk about it, but actually that you would have someone in your life that you could say, I'm about to do something crazy here. I'm about to explode. I need to talk to you. I'm about to go crazy. And they're going to say, don't do it, don't do it, because it's too late. I'm already contemplating. I'm going there. And they're going to say, well, let me just pray with you. And then they're going to pray with you. And when they pray with you, you're going to be okay. Come on, I'm not kidding. You need somebody in your life that's going to pour life into you. Come on, and do life with. Right? Amen. Amen. That's why in 2 weeks we're launching our small group semester in 2 weeks. So that you can get some friends that love God, that are, you know, presenting you some truth in your life, that, where you can take the mask off, where you can get real. Come on, that's what James 5 is talking about. Have somebody that you can share with, talk with, get real with, pray with one another. And the Bible says, you know what's going to happen as a result of that? You're going to be healed. Amen. So you need somebody. I need it. You need it. We all need it. Somebody to help you take you off the edge. help you, give you some good friends. And see, a lot of us really don't have that. A lot of us have opposites. We have friends in many places, whether it's virtual or whatever, that's going to talk you in the wrong directions. I'm telling you, we need good friends that love God, that know God's word, that's going to guide you in truth, and we're going to help one another, right? That's huge. I could preach a whole message on that, but you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Amen? That's huge. Proverbs 13 and 20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise. But if you go hang out with a companion of fools, you're going to jail. That's what it says right there. See that? You're going to jail. I mean, you're not going to have, it's going to be not going to be good. Suffer harm. Right relationship. Number three, God-defined identity. God-defined identity. Listen, God made you, and he alone can help you understand who you are. So I would just encourage you, please don't let your feelings define who you are. Please don't listen to culture, and certainly don't listen to Hollywood. Better to let God define who you are, because he's the one that created you. And you have a God-defined identity. You have something that God has always intended you to be, and something that he's always intended for you to do. Look at Galatians chapter 6 in the Message. It says this, make a careful, there's that word careful, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given. So that's important right there. Come on, discover who you are and let that be your goal. If that's your goal in this 21 days of prayer and fasting, come on, God's going to help you to discover who you are. It's part of the reason I believe that we have been weakened is that we have let people define us. And we've not discovered our identity in God first, right? Because everybody in the world out there is wanting to define you. They want to tag you, label you, everything else. But you need to take time to discover who you are in Christ. And then, after you do that, look at this. Then sink yourself into that. And don't be impressed with yourself, and don't compare yourself to others. But go and sink yourself into that. That verse right there is why we do the growth track. And the growth track is not for us. It's not for us to get something out of you. It's all for you. To help you to discover how God has designed you, help you identify who you are, what God's called you to do, and then set you free to do that. Amen? And that's when life becomes fun. Trust me. It works. God defined identity. Number four, we need to be careful to live a crucified life. Crucified life. Now that may sound like a real strong, heavy biblical term there, but let me just kind of explain that. Doesn't mean you got to go kill yourself, okay? Now what it simply means is that we're going to start every day by finding the things that are not like God, and every day put them to death. It's a lifestyle. It's part of our prayer life to put things that are against God to death inside of them, right? Paul puts it this way in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Now, obviously, he was living because he was writing this, okay? But what he's saying is, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul was saying, this is what I do. This is how I live. And this is how we need to live. We need to wake up every morning, come on, in prayer, seeking God first, have some worship, then just spend a few minutes a day saying, today, God, check my attitude. Come on, everybody. Let's get real. Today, God, I'm going to put it down. I'm going to put those bad attitudes down. You know, I'm already going to work. I'm already getting geared up to have a bad attitude. God, I need you right now. I need you to rest that. And I crucify that anger. I crucify that rage. I crucify that jealousy, that envy, that impatience. Today, I'm not going to worry about tomorrow, but today, every day, I'm going to make some choices, some right choices. That's what Galatians 5 is all about when Paul talks about letting go of anger and rage and bitterness and malice and lust, and I'm going to replace it with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. So I'm asking the Lord to take the flesh part out of me and put the spirit that comes from you inside of me and change me. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm going to take care of just today. And God, today, for those that are going to offend me, I'm already going to forgive them in advance. Come on. This is good preaching. I'm preaching better than y'all are. Amen. And if you live that kind of life, guess what? Dead people don't get angry. Really? I mean, seriously. Next time you're at a funeral, you go up to the coffin and you go up to that dead person and you look at him and you say, I hate you. You know what they're going to do? They ain't going to hate you back because they're dead. They're dead. Don't try that. Don't go up to, don't do that at the next funeral. Then you come back and say, Pastor, I was talking dead. No. Look, I'm just saying, dead people are dead. But when we're dead in Christ, come on, somebody, we give that to Christ. Let that die. Let it go. Right? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 31, I die every day. Every day. We got to do it daily. Let me give you this final one. It's important that we keep an eternal perspective. Write that down. And I've kind of already alluded to it. Here's the deal. This earth was never designed to make you happy. We live with an unrealistic expectation, especially those of us who call ourselves Americans. I mean, we're in the pursuit of happiness. We even got it on our documents, the pursuit of happiness. But guess what? Your lake house, The air conditioner gonna break there too. That new car, that new tire, it'll have a flat just like the old one. I'm just saying. Life happens. Your perfect life that you thought was going to make you happy, and guess what? It'll make you unhappy too. And just when you think you've got the perfect marriage, the perfect kids, the perfect house, the perfect job, and everything's perfect, then you get the news from the doctor that something's going on inside of your body. I'm telling you. And if you don't have this last one figured out of having an eternal perspective, you're going down when life happens to you. If this earth is all there is to it. The fact is, this earth is not your home. It's not your home. Life happens. I got a call this week. Many of you know about it already, but my phone rang. I was at work and it rang, and something in my spirit, you know, said, you need to get that. I mean, it's real strong in my spirit. You need to get that. A lot of times I have to ignore it because I'm working and busy. Something said, you need to get that. I looked, and it was my mother calling me. And I called, I answered it. She wasn't there. I thought, she must have called me by accident. You know, that happens. I do that. So I hung up, I called her back. I said, Mom, is everything okay? She said, no. Something's wrong with your dad. Gotta take him to the doctor. Come to find out, the doctor said, you could die. You could die. His heart rate was so low. He said, you're getting a pacemaker tonight. And they called an ambulance. He's wild drive. No, calling an ambulance. Rushed him to the hospital. It was actually the next morning. They put it in. In fact, the doctor said, we're going to do this pacemaker in the morning if you don't die during the night. That's pretty, that gets your attention, doesn't it? In fact, he'd had several times where he had fainted and passed out, whatever you call it. And apparently there was something that had been going on for a long time and we didn't even realize it. And I realized, wow, we didn't realize that he was like one step away from walking into eternity on several occasions. But thank God, God sustained him. But the fact of the matter is, in fact, I told him, I said, now, Dad, I believe, and I told my parents this, that God's promised us 120 years. He's 82. I said, God's promised us 120 years, and I believe in every one of those for you and Mom. And in fact, there was a guy in the Bible who God added more years on to him. Remember that? He prayed and God extended his years. I said, I want those tacked on to you as well. You know, and we just want to, you know, that's just what we do as kids for our parents. In fact, we think that for ourselves. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible says that even at that, this life is just a vapor. And I'm telling you, we need an eternal perspective. I think sometimes we get so locked into what's happening in our world. You know what your world is, and we lose perspective. And when you have perspective, listen, you can be heartbroken to the things of this life, but you can, in the midst of that, still have joy. But if all your eggs are only in the basket for this world, I feel sorry. I get disappointed with life. I wish there was a lot of things different. I wish there was things different in the government. I wish there was things different in the Middle East. I wish there was things different, but I may get discouraged, I may get disappointed, but I'm not going to get discouraged because I'm just passing through this world. Amen? This world is not my home. So I'm going to wear this life like a loose garment. And when this life is over, I'm going to shed it, and I'm going to go on, and Fahrenheit is going to be just fine. Fahrenheit is going to live forever, amen? And so are you if you know Jesus Christ, amen? And if you have that, if your eternal perspective, guess what? It doesn't mean that I'm just ignoring everything in this life and waiting till the trumpet sounds. And actually, when you have that kind of perspective, it makes this life make more sense. Come on, and you're able to keep your sanity in the midst of it all, have perspective in the midst of it all, and have peace. And guess what? Be strong knowing what's going on, knowing there's more to it than this life. I just preached something I believe is going to strengthen us in our spirit, man. Amen, everybody? So let me give you this scripture. Colossians chapter 3 says this: since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Goes on to say, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So I was one of you, I believe that's your verse of the week, right? Just take that verse. And when reality hits, respond by just thanking God for heaven and that there's hope. And let me just add this one home for you. You can write this one down, not in your notes. Well, it is in your notes, but I tacked a little bit. I extended it out and gave you more of that verse. But in Psalm chapter 42, verse 5, why are you down in the dumps, your soul? Why are you crying the blues? Look what he goes on to say. Fix my eyes on God. Soon, I will fix my eyes on God, and then soon I will be praising again. That last blank is for you. Okay, so what would put the last blank? That last blank is for you. I will what? I don't know. What will you do? Will you fast social media? Will you go all in on 21 days of prayer? Will you pray some bold prayers in 2018? What will you do? Come on, to renew your faith. Listen, we need to renew our faith every day by getting in God's word, by praying first. It needs to be our first response, not our last resort. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen when you go on in, when you make a decision. I don't know what that is for you, but just write down whatever that is for you. But here's the thing. My father, thank God he had a successful procedure, putting in the pacemaker. And one of the things I heard that he said, it was like his whole hand opened up. He could think clearly. It was like, you know, like when you've been stuffed up from a cold, you kind of got the head congested. It was like his whole head just opened up. You know what I think that was? Well, there wasn't enough blood pumping to his brain to get some oxygen. Can I tell you, when you take these steps and do these things, it's going to be oxygen to your soul. Amen? To your soul. So I want to encourage you. Make a decision. There's some steps that some of you need to make. Right? Come on, bow your heads with me right now. Some of you, if Jesus were to return to that, I want to ask the question, would you be ready for his coming? Or have you made preparations? Have you made that step of making him the Lord of your life? For some of us, it may be you made that decision, but you're not where you once were. I'd like to pray with you today. I'd like to help you take that step, because nothing of what we're talking about works until you first establish him as the Lord of your life. Come on, when he's the center of it all, he has the ability to touch every area of your life. So I want to give you that opportunity today. I just want to lead in a prayer. So if you're here today and you know you need to commit or recommit, whatever that looks like for you, I want to lead you in a prayer. If you're watching online, I want to encourage you to join us today and pray this prayer with us. But if you're in this house and you say it's me, Pastor, we just slip up a hand and you put it right back down. God bless you today. God bless you today. Amen. If you're praying, if you're there watching online, pray with us. Come on, just pray something like this. I'm just going to help you with the words. All you got to do is mean it, okay? Just say it today. Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. Give you my life. Forgive me for going my own way. Today I invite you to come in. Change me on the inside. Thank you, Lord, that everything I go through, you've already taken for me. In fact, every sin that I've ever committed, you've already paid for it. So, Lord, I accept your payment. Thank you for dying for me so that I could live. By faith, I accept you now. Come into my heart. Make me brand new. Come on, say this. I give you my life. And with all my heart, I will follow you. Lord, I thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer. I thank you for those, oh God, that have now invited you to come in. Now, Lord, you have entered their heart. You have forgiven, and all things have become new. I celebrate with them, God. I thank you for changed lives. I thank you, Lord, for making us strong in you. Lord, you are the one that does it, not us. It is your strength, not ours. I thank you for the strengthening of our spirit, soul, and body. God, we give you the praise for everything accomplished. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said amen.